Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with this with me this week is... I forgot it. No, shut up. Stop laughing. Co-hosting with me this week is Magenta Magician... Oh, no! I fucked it up. William Magenta Magician Milth Miller. There we go.
Dude, you botched that. How you guys doing?
I'm sorry. Also hosting with us this week, we got... Justin Flamin' Face Fick. What's going on, Justin Fick?
Not too bad. How are we, boys?
I'm doing good. It's been long since we've had a normal show.
Yeah, we've been cheating on BDPE with a live show.
That's true. We've been doing live
shows. We got all these guests and all that. Look, it's back to business as usual. Just the three of us. We'll have those guys back, you know, guests, and we'll have Ryan Meyer and Dom and all them guys back.
Yeah, but I think every show
show's a little much. So, just back to business, back to basics. We're going to rock it tonight.
For those of you guys who like the live show, we're going to be doing more of them. Just not every week, maybe once a month, something like that. And look, we've got ideas for even new stuff to do on the live show. So, come about a month from now, you better hold on to your butt.
Also, I want to start an online petition. Now, I know these things don't work. I know these things don't work ever.
No, there was that one
maybe.
Time. Do you remember?
Nope. They don't work ever. There was that time that they got their little special edition box set or whatever. No. I don't even remember what game. Was that for
Bioshock? Yeah.
You guys are lame. Okay, anyway. I'm starting a petition. And I think that all of us need to participate. Somebody take the initiative and go make this on the forum right now. But I think we need to gather signatures to persuade Blake Buck to make a move on this new girl
talked about
in episode 3.
Look, son, I swear to God. Look, Blake Buck has many, many interests, I'll have you know. I got bitches lined up round the block, son, all right?
I'm sure you do. But you need to take the step. And we're all behind you. I mean... Once we get enough signatures, you know, the people have spoken. You've got
exactly.
to do it.
I'm going to take a line from Heartbreak Kid. You need to start crushing some pussy there, Blake Buck.
Justin Fick, did you see that movie? Because I saw it.
It was unbelievably stupid.
It was pretty dumb.
I want 2 hours of my fucking life back.
I don't even know what that is.
It's terrible. Terrible movie.
All right, well, look, maybe next live show I'll have an update for you guys. We'll see.
Well, good.
All right, and this is your game. Almost forgot, guys. Podcast Alley, got to vote every month. October, it's our month. If you're hearing this a little later, November is also our month. So, guys, I want your votes. And this is your gaming news for Wednesday, October 24th, 2007.
Before you do that, should we also do that that Asphalt Dream Heat?
Oh, I don't know. Is he still doing his Asphalt Dream thing? We haven't heard an update from our boy Chump Boy, but
I'm sure you can still donate. So go.
I'm sure. So for those of you who hadn't checked it out, one of our listeners, Chump Boy in the forums, also known as Christian C, he is participating in the what is it called? Live Strong Bike Riding Competition in Portland, and he's going to be riding his bike. Or already has rode his bike, and we don't really know. You got to send us emails more often, son. But you can donate to us. How many times has he beaten cancer now? 600,
Seven.
I think, is the number.
Dude, he's racking up that experience points.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So if you donate to him...
He's farming cancer.
so if you donate to
Gold farming cancer, yeah.
So if you donate to his... What's it called? I guess fundraiser, right?
Asphalt Dreams, huh?
I guess if you donate to his site and leave a little note for him, it says BDPE will send you a free, exclusive BDPE shirt. So be sure to...
We haven't gotten any donations yet.
People have told me they've donated, BDPE? But I don't think... I think Christian C is just busy. He hasn't sent... Look, we hadn't heard from him in like a month. So I'm assuming he is still not dead. He could have died.
We're working on that assumption. Look, son, you get a lot of EXP.
That's true.
For killing cancer. So he's probably leveled up enough where he, you know, it's all right.
That's true. All right. And this is your gaming news for October 24th, 2007. I already said that. Use the other one. It was better. All right. On this week's... All right. What did I say at the beginning?
This week in the news.
That's right. This week in the news, we've got Bungie splits from Microsoft, Bionic Commando returns, and Street Fighter 4 has been announced. All this and more on this week's Best Damn Podcast Ever.
Okay, so in a pretty surprise, this is kind of old news, but we hadn't done a show in a while, and I figured this is pretty important to talk about. Bungie splits from Microsoft. Bungie has separated and is no longer a subsidiary of the Microsoft Corporation, is now its own entity. So Bungie said, Bungie has long been built on creativity, originality, and freedom to pursue ideas. Microsoft agreed, and rather than stifling our imagination, they decided it was best for both interests to unleash it. Unleash it, guys. So this is a really strange thing, and I sort of wanted to get your feedback on this, because I'm not really sure
it makes sense to me. I mean, Microsoft went after Bungie specifically for Halo. They're like, well, listen, we want Halo to basically put us on the map, because really that's, you know, Halo was the reason the Xbox sold well. That gave it the foothold it needed to, you know, become a major player in the video game consoles. And Halo 3, you know, finished up a trilogy, and now, you know, that solidified the Xbox 360 with probably, you know, it's going to be probably the most played online game for a very long time. So, you know, now that the trilogy is done, I mean, they want to make, I'm sure, new IP. And Microsoft is like, oh, shit, new IP, that means risk, means money risk. So they're like, well, listen, if you want to go do that, and you can totally be your independent, you can have your freedom, you can be a real boy. But if you want to make it for the Xbox 360, you know, more power to you, and we'll help you wherever we can. But, you know, we're not going to assume that financial risk for you anymore. So, you know, they got what they wanted, which was, you know, less risk with still, you know, if Bungie does make a cool IP, it's going to be for the 360, and then Bungie gets to make whatever they want to make now. They don't have to make Halo 4.
See, you know what this looks like to me? It looks like the guy that, like, once he sleeps with the chick he's been dating, just dumps her. That's it. They got their Bungie. They got their rocks off. You know? They got their Halo. And now it's
over.
I'm done
with you now.
Honeymoon over. You're done. Well, get out of here.
One thing I've read, I don't know if it says it in the article here, but it said that Microsoft still gets, like, first dibs on anything they develop.
Yeah, that's right. So. They have, it's called right to first rejection.
Wow.
I'm serious. Wait, that is literally what it's called.
Wait, explain that, Justin Fick.
That, you know, basically that's just a really dick way of saying, you know, Bungie's going to take their new IP to Microsoft first for publishing.
So they're going to make a game, and they can only make it on their own if Microsoft don't like it.
No, not quite. What that means is if Microsoft says, you know, no, this is butt, you know, then Bungie can take it to other publishers.
Right.
Yeah, what that's saying is Microsoft has first dibs on any shit that they make. So if they make something real cool, Microsoft is going to snatch it up.
Well, obviously, what that means is you're going to want to make some sort of butt game that is secretly awesome to get past the radar of Microsoft.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Bungie and Microsoft do have a pretty good, gig going on. Like, I was playing Halo 3, and, you know, I remember, like, getting a dude's gamer card or something on Halo 3 playing online, and, like, that, like, the blade was actually different for Halo 3 than it was for any other game. Like, the blade
was
supposed to be,
when,
like,
you're playing Halo 3, it's got its own, like, custom stuff in there, right?
Yeah, like, it's not so much custom menus, but you open up the blade, which is kind of like the Xbox 360 system menu, which you know from my knowledge you cannot change, and it's got special things in there just for Halo 3.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Look, Wee Miller, you press the Xbox button and it says like review player info, and that's not on other games. I swear to God, you're so stupid. So, what do we think? Does this mean we're going to be seeing Bungie on the DS come 12 months from now?
Well, they said, like, well, the Bungie on the DS thing was a pitch somebody made, and
do you think we're going to see Bungie really getting out there on other platforms?
Maybe
and stuff,
in the future.
In the future.
I mean, they've said that right now they're still most comfortable with a 360, and, you know, I mean, they've been publishing, you know, developing specifically for Xbox for the last, what, like 4 years, 5 years? When, you know, Halo 1 came out when, like 2001? I don't know, but they've been publishing for Xbox for a very long time. So this is where, you know, This is where they're rocking it, basically.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, I bet I would be willing to wager that there are a couple designers over there just salivating over the DS and the Wii.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
All that mess. And I bet that I would be willing to bet also that sort of motivated this.
Oh my God.
This
Halo
split.
Plus Waggle controls. The future is here.
Dude, I can swing the nut the nunchuck below my legs to teabag somebody.
Look, guys, I'm still holding out for Halo the Ride. Look, I want to go to Universal Studios and run over Covenant with my Doom
Dude,
buggy.
It's like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, only it's with aliens.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right, so Justin Fick, I hear you got something for us about Bionic Commando.
All right, I got some good news about Bionic Commando. Capcom has announced that they are remaking Bionic Commando in newfangled 3D mega next-gen goo graphics power. So if you guys don't remember, the original Bionic Commando, it was released in 1988, and it was basically you're this dude, and like there was no jump button. Like, this blew our fucking minds in 1988. Like, you cannot jump. A button does not propel you into the air.
There are only two buttons, and one of them was not jump. We have a problem.
when I was 7 years old at the time, this blew my fucking mind. Like, what the hell? Like, this is alien to me. But instead of jump, they gave you probably the coolest device ever to come into a video game ever, which is the grappling hook. And so instead of jumping, your A button shot out grappling hook, bionic arm, and you just swung all over the place, and it was awesome. But for some reason, no one ever made another Bionic Commando. There's like a shitty Game Boy version that no one cared about. But now, finally, we're going to get a remake of Bionic Commando. And honestly, it looks pretty good. I've only seen screenshots, and I've seen an interview with one of the top guys, but the guy's absolutely glowing about it. He's like a huge Bionic Commando fan. It sounds like he's gonna do it. He's gonna do it good. So they are gonna change the story around, from what I've heard. But that isn't necessarily a bad thing, because if you recall, players of Bionic Commando, your dude in Bionic Commando was called Rad Spencer with spiky red hair. And you were on a quest to save Super Joe from the Badds. That's B-A-D-D-S.
I can only imagine what that acronym stands for.
It stands for Nazis.
I bet it has bad in it.
Yeah, the first word is bad. Bad army dudes. Dudes!
But yeah, basically it stood for Nazis, because they were basically Germans you were shooting. At the end, you blew up Hitler's face.
I remember that.
So no confirmation or denial of Hitler's reappearance in the new Bionic Commando, but it looks pretty good. They've renamed Rad Spencer to Nathan Spencer. Hopefully Super Joe is still involved, because that's a cool fucking name.
I like, look, you can't, I know that Rad Spencer is ridiculous now, but that's part of the charm, baby. You can't take away my favorite part.
I don't know if I'd call it charm at this point.
I don't think we have enough games nowadays that feature Hitler as the final boss.
It used to be the in thing. Bionic Commando, Wolfenstein. I played Call of Duty 2 and 3.
What do you fight at the end? A tank or some nonsense like that.
No, you want to fight Hitler. At the end of
I want a fist fight story. With Hitler on the beach with doves.
I've got a great story for you guys. So I was in the shower the other day and I had a revelation. That's where all my revelations come to me. Anyway, so I'm sitting in the shower and I was watching the previous night I'd watched Kurt Russell in Escape from LA, like the greatest god movie of all time. And then like immediately after that I was playing Condemned, right? And Condemned is like, you guys know what Condemned is. You're going around, you're crime detective, looking up. You basically beat up junkies and search for this, like, criminal
mastermind. I heard
it was
Resident Evil 4, but you collect dead birds.
Not quite, because, like, Resident Evil 4 is, it's a lot more varied than Condemned. Condemned is, like, run through hallway and hit junkies. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, anyway. Like, Resident Evil 4 plus birds minus fun.
That is not a bad estimation of the game. And that's what, I mean, I've been trying to, I'm about like maybe three-fourths of the way through it now. Really, it's getting on my nerves, but I'm like, I guess I should finish it. So I was thinking, man, I really hate the plot. It's kind of stupid, but it is set in New York, and then it hit me. Instead of being a cop, I'll just imagine in my head that I'm Kurt Russell in Escape from New York. The game became 1,000 times more fun.
You know what, Blake Buck, I think you are onto something. We need to have an experiment on this show. Is that we will go and find shitty games, but as we're playing, you have to imagine that you are Kurt Russell in Escape from New York,
Blake Buck,
and see if that makes the game better.
Blake Buck, I think it is high time that you revealed to the listeners your new movie idea.
Look, you told me about this. I was blown away.
You got to tell them.
I can't reveal the whole thing.
Just tell them the two words you told me.
Oh, there are two words. Blake Bliskin. My mullet is now long enough to pull it off.
Dude, I think that was the quickest sold pitch I've ever heard in my life. You automatically have my blessing.
Anyway, look, you guys don't even know. I've got a lot of ideas going. I'm starting to write every day all my ideas for video. Look, you better be ready.
See, Blake Buck, your ideas are like me and the website. I keep saying new website, and it never happens. And you keep saying I got all these movie ideas.
Look,
it never happens.
Look, I went and talked to some people today, all right?
Oh, uh-huh. You went and talked, hey.
Look. Uh-huh. I'm hiding this power, but it'll be good. All right, so Street Fighter 4 has been announced, ladies. Now, you might say, what the fuck? What was Street Fighter 3? I don't even remember that shit. Well, let me tell you. The Street Fighter chronology went Street Fighter 2. Or, excuse me, it started with Street Fighter 1, which came out in like, I want to say it was like maybe 84? It was way long ago. Maybe not that old. Maybe like 88 or something. Then they came out with
Street Fighter 1 was an aborted child and no one cared.
It was. I think you could only play as Ryu. I don't even think you could pick your character in that game. Anyway, then they came out with Street Fighter 2, The World Warriors, which was obviously a monster success. Everybody's seen that white, you know, blonde hair, blue eyed dude punch out the black dude at the opening sequence. And then
it's worth noting that neither of those characters was actually in the game.
Yeah, those are just two fighting dudes.
Yeah, that's how they draw you in. We don't want to take any characters. It's just, but we want to make sure we have a white dude punching out a black dude.
That will go over well in Middle America. So anyway, then they probably released about 10 million spinoff versions of Street Fighter 2. Then I believe it was about 1990. Maybe 95, they came out with, Street Fighter 3, and it was arcade only. There might have been like a Saturn version. Never really took off. They kind of reverted back to Street Fighter 2 after that. They started doing Street Fighter Alpha as well. They even had Street Fighter, let me pull this up. For the PlayStation 2, there has been a 3D Street Fighter called Street Fighter EX. And this came out on PS2 maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, but it never really, that was the only game they made, and it never really took off either. So now, out of the blue, Capcom says Street Fighter 4, it's happening right the f*** now.
So, did you see the trailer?
I saw the trailer. Well, I'm getting to that.
Dude, the trailer is amazing.
Well, okay, yeah. So they had it on the site. It just said, prepare yourself for like 6 months. And then the trailer went up today. And so, yeah, the trailer was basically like two. It was Ken and Ryu, the two heroes, for those who don't know, kind of from the series. And they're fighting in a field, and it's very kind of stylized. I would almost say anime, but it's sort of 3D-esque/anime.
There's all this black smoke shit going all over the place.
I love it in my art school.
I love it.
Well, it's like they punch each other and they're on a canvas, and when they punch, there's like paint splatters behind them kind of thing. It was pretty cool, but I question how much of that style, or even if any of that style, is going to be carried into the game at all.
Look, the game better look exactly like that.
I really don't think so, William Miller. I'm going to be honest. But it could. You never know.
I like how that's the official name for it, though. It's like you have your Renaissance style, your Gothic style, your postmodern style, black smoke shit.
Look.
Oh. You know what I thought was dumb? Like, at the end of the trailer, right? Oh, Ken and Ryu, they've been fighting each other and punching each other, and oh, they're really tired now. But then Ryu's like, oh, shit. Here it comes. And he starts doing the fireball, and the camera zooms in real close, and it's like, yeah! Street Fighter 4. Since when was the fireball the fucking coolest move ever? Down, down, forward, punch. It does not do that much damage, son.
Dude, that's the first one you figured out how to do, though. That's the one that's stuck in your mind. You're like, oh, shit, I figured out that code. I win at this game now. I mean, come on now. That's like definitive Street Fighter.
That's true.
That move.
Dude, I figured that out in Mortal Kombat before that was Street Fighter. To me, that's always Raiden Lightning.
Yeah, man.
And Sub-Zero, man, Ice.
I don't know if I've ever said this before, but I like Mortal Kombat a little bit more in terms of, like, the lore side of Mortal. See, like, Mortal Kombat, like, there were no moves list anywhere. Like, you knew some dude in the arcade who knew this secret hack to get smoke that nobody else knew.
Yeah, man.
Everything was secret. There were all these rumors.
Dude, Justin
and stuff.
Fick had a magazine. It wasn't Nintendo Power. It might have been, like, Game Pro or something back then.
Yeah, you got the code.
That listed
the
everything.
Code book.
And Justin Fick was a god for it.
Anyway, so it's no release date's been said. It seems likely maybe around this time next year, but that's just me speculating. Capcom hasn't done a lot of other fighting games. They did do Power Stone, for you guys who remember that one on the Dreamcast. And Techromancer is one of their other, which is a Dreamcast fighting game. They haven't really done a lot of fighting games outside the Street Fighter universe, but a few. So we'll see how this one turns out for them.
Now, is there any mention of this being a 2D fighter or a 3D fighter?
Nothing. I mean,
nothing.
There's literally just the trailer. That's all there is right now. There's no press release, no nothing.
It's going to have black shit in it. I know that for a fact. But get better. They promise black shit all over the place.
Oh, I love it. All right, well, now it's time for releases.
Well, look, before we move on to releases, Blake Buck, I watched the Daily Show last night. Did y'all watch the Daily Show last night?
No, not last night.
I don't got cable.
All right, well, Stephen Colbert announced his candidacy for president last night on the Colbert Report.
Is that, like, serious? I mean, I know he's not going to really run, but is that going to be, like...
I have no idea, like, how serious... I mean, it's Stephen Colbert. You never know. But,
that's
like,
true.
Like, why don't we run for president?
Dude, you are on to
something.
I mean,
the three of us on one ticket, right, will be the game party. Game party game. Ticket. Blake Buck,
we'll
Wayne Miller.
We'll be the
Justin
damn
Fair.
Party. Damn.
Best damn party. The BDP.
Dude, can I be Secretary of War?
No, you'd be Secretary of Fight. We won't have a Department of Defense. We have a Department of Fight. It's just a bunch of dudes in a room fighting.
Dude, the first order of business as Secretary of Fight is to spend $1 billion refitting all of our planes and tanks and guns with 360 controller controls.
Yeah, and training all of our generals on Advanced Wars.
I thought you were going to say fists. Okay, so Justin Fick is the Secretary of Fight. I'm the Secretary of Love, or Love Making. I just have sex with women all day. That's my job.
That makes me king, baby.
Oh, that makes you king? Look, that's fine.
Look,
whatever.
We're going to throw out the office of president. We're going to replace it with king. I think we're long overdue for a hereditary monarchy.
King or lord? I think I like lord better.
Lord is fine. You know, Lord is... What, you know, we got to call our constituents something cool, you know.
Monglers?
Well, all right. But they do not have hereditary title. They don't.
That's true. And also, like, we need to throw out the Oval Office. It'll just be like a triangle with the three of us in each corner.
We each have a desk, a real big, tall desk. And they come when people come into the triangle office, they stand in the middle. And we look at them from all three angles. We're the tribunal of justice and fight.
Yeah,
and game.
We'll call the triad tribunal.
No, the center of the room rotates so that way we all see you.
But they got to put the quarter in to make that work. Otherwise, they got to turn around by themselves.
Or you could call us the triple force or triforce, if you will.
Or the trifecta.
The trifecta.
I like triforce. Yeah, it'd be a giant triforce in the middle.
You know, one thing I was thinking about, talking about secretary. What am I? Secretary of lovemaking. That's right. I was listening to Chappelle's show, and they have like Charlie Murphy talking about when his brother got big, right? And he used to be security for his brother, right? And you know, his brother was a huge star. So he described it as this. His brother would go into the club, right? And like, he would just drain it. And all of the women would leave with him. And then all the dudes would be mad because their dates left with Eddie Murphy. That's what it's going to be like when we're president. We drain everything.
Clubs. No, Blake Buck, what you got to do is you have to make one of those national, like, sex holidays like they did in Russia. Like, they did this thing in Russia because they have a real problem with, like, population. Like, there's no people in Russia anymore because they all die because Russia sucks, obviously. It's cold as shit over there. There's no food. And they just eat and drink vodka all the time. So they have this national holiday to just go have sex and procreate.
Yeah, aren't there prizes?
Yeah, so the prize is like 9 months from that day. If you have a baby 9 months from like day, you get like a free car or something like ridiculous.
Dude.
Like that. So,
oh man,
I know, it's perfect. So as the Department of Sex, Blake Buck, you have to figure that shit out.
The Department of Sex and the Department of Fight.
We need to establish an elite force of sexual lords. We'll call them the Fuck Force. Naturally, the three of us are the generals.
They will be garrisoned right alongside the Fight Force.
You guys that heard the Buzzer X there can infer what we said. It will be an alliteration with force, obviously.
You know what? That'll be our what is it there? What the hell am I thinking of? Our policy for other countries.
Foreign policy.
Foreign people. There we go.
Look, we don't like another country. We just go and breed them out.
No, what we do, we send in Fight Force first, kills people, and Fight Force goes in and fucks whoever's left.
I love it.
It's kind of like Nuke and Pave, only sexier.
Okay, I definitely think it's time for releases now.
All right. Okay, we have Painkiller Overdose.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
For PC. Originally a community mod, Overdose is now a full-fledged production baked by Dreamcatcher and Joe Woo D.
Dude, I love this game. Just Vic, you've played this, right?
Dude, I want this in my mouth right now.
Have you played Painkiller?
Dude, it's like Serious Sam, only more.
No, it's like Painkiller is like Kill Monty, but 3D. You go in room, doors close, kill everything. That's it.
Also, we've got Eye of Judgment for PS3.
Oh, shit, son. This is that, you know, card battling. You put them on the desk and, like, the fucking dragons come out of the cards and stuff.
Yeah, right on.
I just like the name. Because it's Judgment and Eye of Judgment.
I like both of those words.
All right, we also got Ace Combat 6 Fires of Liberation for Xbox 360 coming out October 23rd. Climb into the cockpit of dozens of authentic aircraft to take the skies.
Dude, that's what we should have called the War on Iraq. And you know what? If we would have called it Fires of Liberation instead of Operation Iraqi Freedom, we would have had like 95% approval.
No, we would be done. No. We got to call it Ace Combat 6, baby.
Dude, it would have been like Iraq would be like Jersey now. So. All right, here, I'm going to grab this next one because I played it. Clive Barker's Jericho for Xbox 360, PC, and PS3, coming out October 23rd. Horror writer Clive Barker is collaborating on this horror game within a wall of a city in northern Africa that happens to be filled with the souls of slaughtered warriors. Of course.
As cities in northern Africa usually are.
I played... first up, let me say, this is coming to GameTap same day as everything else. So if you buy it on the PC, you stupid son, You stupid. It's on GameTap, son. $10. You can play it for a month. You don't need to buy that game. Anyway, I played on Xbox 360, and I thought it was really interesting. Like, you, instead of just playing as, like, one dude, you, or at least in the demo, you played as, like, a squad of three people, and you could switch between the three, and they had, like, different powers. Like, there was the sexy, like, sort of ninja girl, and she could, like, run real fast and jump high and, like, slit throats, and there was the big dude with big guns who was slower but did more damage. And then there was, like, these mini-games where you kind of had to, like, hop down this hallway, and the camera work was very good. I was very impressed. I thought this was going to be ass, but I was quite impressed by the demo. So go check this one out on Xbox Live Marketplace or GameTap, and tell us how it is. Feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com. All right. Also, we got Conan on Xbox 360 and PS3. It's coming out on the 23rd. A new single player action game that features the legendary barbarian Robert E. Howard's fantasy stories, not the Arnold Schwarzenegger films.
Now listen, not the Arnold Schwarzenegger films. That is why this game will fail.
You just lost points.
Yeah, yeah.
That is why you fail.
You just condemn this game to failure.
I mean, what do you expect when you buy a game called Conan? I mean,
that's KOW-NAN.
As game designers, you know, you got to think about expectations the public's going to have when they buy your game. I mean, Conan, come on. I want to see
Schwarzenegger
guns in my face.
He didn't have guns in Conan's ass.
No, I mean his muscles.
Oh,
I call them guns.
Oh, I see.
Or pythons. They can be called pythons as well.
I never heard that in my life.
Also,
look, somebody call the vet. These pythons are sick.
Well, listen. I want to see Arnold Schwarzenegger, swords and tits, and punching camels in the face.
I know. That's what I want to see.
Wait, Miller, you remember we were on that shoot?
I want to have a camel-punching mini-game.
Wait, Miller, you remember when we were on that shoot a few years ago? And there was that old... Her name was Dorothy Norwood, that old gospel singer.
Oh, I remember that.
We were sitting on set, right? And the camera, the director of photography said, you know, Dorothy, you can take your shoes off if you want, because we're not seeing your feet in this shot. And she said, oh, no. And this is like an 80-year-old... You know, black woman. She says, oh, I don't know about that. If I take my shoes off, these snakes might come out and bite you.
So I got a little an appendix to this story. Blake Buck, you know, I used to live with Blake Buck in the dorm. Blake Buck has like the raunchiest feet ever. I mean, he used to wear these like Birkenstock things all the time, rain or shine, Birkenstock, dude. He'd come into your room and take his shoes off, and he knew it, and he liked it, because it was like, he got so much pleasure out of this. It was like biological warfare. I mean, this guy came in, them snakes came out, and you just had to leave the room, or you would die.
I'm gonna sick a junkyard dog on your ass. Man,
sometimes you like put them in your face when you weren't thinking about it, and it would just destroy you. It'd be over with.
They have been described as hot cheese.
Yeah, hot cheese.
All right, so we also have Castlevania, The Dracula X Chronicles for PSP coming out October 23rd.
Bah.
Now, this is basically Rondo of Blood, 3D graphics. Basically took Castlevania Rondo of Blood and did the old Mega Man Maverick X treatment to it, made it 3D. And but they did throw in unlockable versions of the original Rondo of Blood and Symphony of the Night. So if you actually still have your PSP and
balls
actually still
up,
play it.
Balls up, son.
Pick this up.
Look, this is going to be the third time I've bought Symphony of the Night. Oh, well. Not enough, I say. Look, I've pre-ordered this game because I wanted... There's like, you get some figurine or some shit if you pre-order. I want that. So... That's what I told the dude at the store. I want figurine.
Now, which figurine is it?
It's apparently like an 8-bit version of Simon. That's how it was described
to
me. Yeah. So I don't know. I'll take a picture of it in my butt once I get it. Because that's right where it's going.
Dude, you should have a picture of your butt with Simon Belmont in your butt crack. That is buttvania, buttvania.jpg.
Thank you, Justin.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Also, we have Age of Empires 3 for the Asian Dynasties for PC. October 23rd. So new playable Asian Civilizations and Wonders come along alongside new ways of winning and trading in the second expansion pack for Age of Empires 3.
Man, I remember, like Firaxis has always given them those big, huge games guys the eye. Like, and they're always giving us the eye. Because, look, they were birthed from our loins, okay? They were.
I see.
So, I don't even know about this. I'm going to have to play it and see.
Dude, you know what I want to see? Wait, I want to see Firaxis games and big, huge games just, like, just fight. Like a Civil War reenactment. Just kill each other.
Yeah.
And just battle for supremacy.
Like Firaxis starts driving down to Big Huge, and then Big Huge starts driving up to Firaxis, and they just fight in the street when they hit.
It'll be Street Fighter 4 with black shit everywhere.
All right, finally, we got Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trials and Tribulations on the DS coming out on the 23rd. It's Phoenix Wright number 3. I've never gotten into this series. I don't care. What about you guys?
I love it.
You know, I heard it's a lot of fun, but I never played it.
All right, now it's time for the judgment, baby.
So this week in the judgment, I went and got Legend of Zelda, New Legend of Zelda, Phantom Hourglass. It's for DS, and not much I can really say about it that you haven't heard about it. It's Zelda for the DS. That's all I gotta say. But if you want to know some more, Phantom Hourglass basically picks up where Wind Waker left off. It's a direct sequel, so you play the little cel shaded Link there, and he just basically killed the god of all evil, Ganon, and for some reason you start off as a chump again, and your buddy there, Tetra, who's really Princess Zelda. Oh my god, Wind Waker spoilers, gets abducted by the ghost ship. So the whole object of the game is to rescue Tetra from the ghost ship. And of course, this involves collecting, you know, some what's-its of wisdom, power, and courage, and then collecting some more what's-its later, and probably killing some evil beast at the end, who, you know, same shit. But what is new is the gameplay controls. The gameplay mechanic is totally different. It is all stylus all the time. D-pad does not move your dude around at all. You tap screen and you run there. It's like Diablo, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Dude, I don't know about that. That sounds suspect.
Dude, and I'm here to tell you right now, it works really good. Like I love the controls. If it feels it's totally natural to me. And you know what? It actually makes all of the items a lot of fun.
Really?
So like it took a while to get used to, and then there's still some things like, you know, rolling, you have to, like, you know, make a little circle on the edge of the screen, and he rolls, and it's actually a pain in the ass to do. But for the most part, moving is very very fluid, very intuitive. Like the D-pad, instead of moving around, it brings up different subscreens. So like selecting an item, just like, you know, hit D-pad left and tap an item. It takes a split second. It's better than going into the subscreen, you know, moving your freaking cursor over to the freaking item you want to get and then equipping it. And all you have to do to use an item, you just hold down the L button. Or if you're left-handed, it makes it the R button. You hold that down, then you tap a screen to control it, and it's super fluid. Like I can whip out a boomerang and bust some dude in the back of the head and then shoot arrows up his ass like it was nothing.
I love it.
So and also this time sailing is back from Wind Waker, but this time they actually made it fun. So they took out all the boring shit from Wind Waker, like, you know, like just like having to control your ship the whole time, and I think the worst part about it, and I know I'm not alone in this, is controlling the fucking wind every time you wanted to turn your fucking ship. Like, who the fuck thought that was a good idea? Seriously. Like there are parts where I had to, you know, where you had to, like, sort of get your boat in the exact right position to pull up, like, a piece of fucking Triforce or something, but you were just, like, a little bit off, and just, like, every time you did, like, change the fucking wind, like, four times, like, who fucking thought that was a good idea? Like, it's Miyamoto, I don't know who, I'm gonna punch him in the face, seriously, that's fucking pissed me off. They took that out, it's gone. No more wind. Now, to steer your ship, all you gotta do is you pull down your sea map, your sea chart, and you draw a path on it, and your ship just goes. And instead of controlling, like, the steering and shit on the ship and controlling the wind, you control your gun. you have a cannon and you shoot unlimited cannonballs at everything. And they throw dudes at you constantly. So the whole time, it's like your ship is sailing itself and you're just blowing dudes up the whole time. And if there's no dudes, you can shoot the birds out of the sky. Like, this is fucking awesome.
I love it.
So and then there's cool things about it too. Like you can customize your ship. So instead of getting that stupid, you know, whatever, like King of Lions or whatever the fuck the ship was last time, you get like this piece of junk. But like as you go, you can find like different ship parts, and you can combine them together and make a totally different looking ship. And the cool thing, you know, if you combine certain parts together, your ship gets more health. It's a cool system. So the positives to it. It's a very fun game to play. Stylus control is awesome. It feels very natural. Sailing is fun. So you can actually enjoy, you know, your high seas. The ship customization is cool. And another thing I want to mention that's very cool. It's got a much more open feel to it than the Minish Cap. If you guys remember Minish Cap, it constricted you as to where to go, like, so much. It felt, like, suffocating almost. It was pissing me off constantly. It's wide open in this game. You can you know, as soon as you get the sea charts, you can go anywhere in the world. It's very cool. So, the jank, it's super linear. It's like the old days of just dumping you in a world of, like, the original Zelda or, you know, like, dumping you in a world with vague hints, like Link to the Past. Those days are over. Like, this is exactly where you're supposed to go. This is exactly the room you're supposed to be in. Here's your puzzle, and here's a statue that tells you how to do the puzzle. Just do it.
Lame.
So it makes the game a lot easier, and I think a lot of that too is we've played the puzzles in Zelda so many fucking times now that they can't think of anything new. I think there's only like a couple puzzles in there that I was like, wow, that's new and cool, but there's like that was rare. So, like, and the thing is, like, the puzzles are all, like, one room at a time, so it's not like some of the dungeons in, like, Ocarina of Time or Link to the Past, where, like, there is this one main puzzle you kept coming back to, which had different solutions depending on where you wanted to go in the labyrinth. No, it's all one room at a time, finish the puzzle, open the door, next room, finish the puzzle, open the door, get the boss, kill the boss, get the item, get, you know, next.
Lame.
And then also, one thing that kind of peeved me, and I'm being picky now, is that the game has no Grim Reaper.
What do you mean?
And what I mean by Grim Reaper is they don't explain why you have to start off as a chump again. So apparently, you know, this is the direct sequel to Wind Waker. So if you recall, you kill the evil god Ganon, and you have all these cool f***ing abilities and items, and just for no reason whatsoever, you start off as a chump. So the reason why I call it the Grim Reaper is you guys remember Castlevania Symphony of the Night? You play as Alucard and you run into the castle and you're fucking wasting everybody with your cool ass items, and then you get to the Grim Reaper, and for no reason whatsoever the Grim Reaper just rips all your shit off and hides it. You know, the whole famous line you remember and he goes what? And all your shit is gone.
Oh, that's right.
It's gone. There is no Grim Reaper in Phantom Hourglass. So, but all in all, those are just minor things. It's still a very fun Zelda game. Dude, thumbs up. Go buy it. Go.
Awesome. Justin Fick, I love it. All right, now it's time for our second judgment, guys. I'm talking today about the Orange Box. For those of you who don't know, this is made by Valve, creators of Half-Life, Half-Life 2, Counter-Strike, all that delicious nonsense. And the Orange Box is a collection of 5 games, including Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2, Portal, Team Fortress, it's Team Fortress 2. So you get all these 5 games on one disc, and they have Xbox 360 achievements. I love it. All of these games are awesome. I would have paid like $50 for each of these, but no, son, you get all 5, one disc, for the price of one game. I love it. Orange Box, that's Blam. All you need to know. Thumbs up. I love everything about it.
Dude, it's thumbs up, and it's partly a jank of the week. Now, I listened to that portal ending credit song, and I gotta say, dude, that automatically sold the entire Orange Box.
It's awesome.
Immediately,
it's awesome. The AI talking to you in Portal. It's like this computer AI kind of talks to you the whole time, and then at the end, like after you, well, spoiler alert, after you blow it the fuck up, right? In the credits, it plays like this song where it's singing a song about how it wants to kill you, and it's great. I love it. So, not only that, but, like, it's got achievements. So, imagine, like, everybody's played through Half-Life 2. Now, imagine playing Half-Life 2, except it's got achievements. So, like, each of those little lambda signs, you got to find all those. That gets you an achievement. Or, like, hitting so many guys with grenades, you get achievements for that. I find that added a lot to even a game I played 2 years ago. So, big thumbs up. I might even call this my game of the year at the moment.
Wow. Because
it's so much value. So much value all these games are perfect, and it's super cheap considering all you get. So big thumbs up and over here.
I'll have to grab that now. Do I need to have played Half-Life 1 to understand what the fuck is going on in Half-Life 2?
You scientist, and there's fleshy things you gotta shoot. That's all you need to know, baby.
I didn't even play all the way through Half-Life 1, and I love Half-Life 2. Basically, from my understanding, Half-Life 1 is like space aliens and
and black smoke.
Justin Vick, have you never played through Half-Life 2, Justin Vick?
No, I've actually never played Half-Life 2 at all, or Half-Life 1.
Oh my god.
Dude, never came out on my Mac, so I don't give a shit.
Let me tell you something, son. Like, in my mind, Half-Life 2 is like the greatest first-person shooter of all time. Like, I sit it side by side with Halo, and it's like a joke. Like, it's certainly in terms of storytelling. My roommate likes to say, oh, Blake, well, Halo's got, like, arcade-style action, maybe, but overall, total package, Half-Life 2 has it beat. Certainly single-player. And you could argue that Halo has more fun multiplayer, but Team Fortress 2 is still good, baby. So, thumbs up. Go pick it up immediately. All right, now it's time for the Jank of the Week. Guys, this week, I got this jank today. Now, for those of you who don't know, Q Entertainment, they're the guys who made Luminace. They made, what else did they make? It was started by the guy who made Rez and Space Channel 5. They do a lot of music-based games. Anyway, they're a cool developer, and so this week on Xbox Live Marketplace, two new Luminace Live song packs have been made available. One of them's free, one of them's $5, but you get, like, 20-something songs for $5. Look, that's not a bad deal.
Wow.
And then Luminace Live, just the base pack by itself, has been reduced from $15 to $10. So if you ignored my advice several months ago and did not pick up Luminace when I said to, there's no better time than now.
Which I will add, I did ignore that advice.
Well, you should definitely get it now, you f-quad. Also, just came out today. This is originally a PSP game. Now it's on the Live Marketplace. Every Extended Extra Extreme. This is $10 on Microsoft, Live Marketplace. And it's sort of like a shooter. And you go around and you press... See, okay. Imagine kill... Here's this game. Imagine kill Monty, right?
Okay.
But then, like, instead of... You can't shoot. All you can do is hit a button and you explode. And then when you explode... Like, imagine the meaty chunks of the stuff in Kill Monty. If those touch another enemy, they explode. So you imagine there's lots of chain reactions that happen, dude, right? And so the goal is to get the biggest chain reaction. And then, like, once, like, you know, you start blowing up and up, power-ups will start appearing, which makes the enemies move faster, which means more enemies can be on screen and you can blow shit up faster. It's also all set to music. So when you hit A, like, there's a beat meter. If you hit it, like, on the beat, you'll get even more point multipliers. It's very bizarre and very strange, but I love it.
Dude, I want to check this out.
Like, a week from now, I might be bored out of my mind with this game. So, I don't know about longevity. I just got it today. But it certainly seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah, because I actually went and grabbed the demo before the show and never got around to playing it. So tonight, I'll have to give this a good, nice, long shot. Because it looks really cool.
Yeah, it's very, very unique, if nothing else. And perhaps the best feature, you can set your own music in the game to play, like you can set, you know, your own music and play along with the beat to your own music. So Push It to the Limit is ready on my Xbox.
Walk along the razor's edge, Blake Bug.
Now, see, I like this game because they took the most basic game design element. So blow up dudes. But no, you don't blow up dudes anymore. Now you blow up yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
My roommate asked me, what happens if the dudes touch you? You blow up. Oh, like good blow up? No, like bad blow up. It's different from the good blow up. All right, now it's time for feedback.
All right, so I'll take this first one. Calyx writes in. He says, okay, so I'll just jump right into my heat with his email. First off, my brother, who has been heard on this show and claims not to like it but tolerates it and even listened to the interview with Blake Buck, was wondering how Blake Buck, as someone who takes classes, I assume from college, but is probably going to turn out to be middle school, how does he fund his gaming? He buys hundreds of games a year and was also able to afford a PSP, a DS, and a 360. How does he do it? How do you do it, Blake Buck?
Let me tell you, when you say he buys hundreds of games a year, that is almost not an exaggeration. Almost. Well, let me tell you how I fund my gaming needs. I work at 92.1, the new sound of Rebel Radio, Oxford's best music, a local radio station here on my college campus. And I work 5 days a week, baby. I work hard for the money. And the pure sound of Blake Buck's golden voice floats across the airways. In fact, I've been going by recently on the radio station. I've been going by a new name, Blake Buck, all caps, no space. That's my radio name.
That is awesome.
So yeah, go work at the radio station, Calyx. Next question.
All right, and now he says, and now I have my own battle to pick with you, Blake.
Oh, shit.
What the fuck? I send in something so lame, and yet I didn't get buzzer bombed. Just some voice of God thing? Lame. You guys are going soft with age. Is he actually complaining that we didn't bust his ass hard enough? Like what kind of masochistic listeners do we have?
Dude, we need to come up with the most brutal battle for him ever. Like, look, you have to beat Battletoads in the time it takes us to record this show.
Yeah.
That's your punishment.
Yeah. Show us the victory screen. And look, you can cheat on ROMs or whatever. You're still not going to beat it in an hour, son.
No. Look, no. Here's what you got to do. Set up a camera. I mean, it only takes about an hour. You got 1 hour. Set up a camera. Beat Battletoads. We want to see it. That's your punishment. Go.
Yeah, you can get like one of them 2 gigabyte cards and get an hour of video easily.
Yeah, man.
And look, we're not talking. You know the Battletoads we're talking about. Don't send us a video of the easy Battletoads saying you beat it. We're talking about the bike level Battletoads.
And okay, so finally he writes, and for my final instruction to Blake, my stump is mountain tanks.
Tanks in a mountain. Done.
Come on, moving on.
Try harder than that.
Listen. Blake Buck is exactly right. It is a game made by Derek Arndt of Battery Acid Software, which is basically 3D artillery in which mountain tanks blow each other up. Blam, done. Get the fuck out of my face.
Oh, I've seen that. I played that game. Wasn't it on the Mac?
Yeah, it's on Mac.
Oh, son, your titties just got twisted. He also says, P.S., Miller, if you say Halo 3 looks the same as the other Halos one more time, I will be saying years down the road Civ 5 is coming out, and it will look the exact same as all the other Civs. He's just being pouty.
Yeah, well, look. Civ 5 probably look like the same as Civ 4, and you know what? Halo 3 looks like Halo 2.
It does.
Done.
And yeah, you're right. Civ 5 probably look like Civ 4.
Let me tell you something. Honestly, I think Half-Life 2 looks about the same as Halo 3. And it came out f***ing 3 years ago.
I know. Look. I'm going to tell you. Here's what you need to do. You need to take that Halo 3 tape. You need to put it in the tape player right next to that BioShock tape. And you tell me which one looks better. You tell me. I'll be waiting for your answer.
All right. Brother Monroe says, hi, guys. Thanks to the powers of Facebook spying tools. I saw, dude, I'm telling you, Facebook, like I'm going to rape some girl, right? and then I'm on trial. And I'm like, what? It was in my mini feed. What's a nigga going to do? You're right. Innocent. You can leave now.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I saw that another Sir William Miller is using, has installed Warbook. Thinking that Sir William had the time to play a game, it might be worth checking out. I attempted to install it, but then I got an error complaining that Safari was no good for it. So perhaps Sir William could inform us, the great BDP public, of his thoughts on Warbook, if it is worth booting up another browser just to play, and his thoughts on Facebook mini apps as a game development platform in general. Now, William Miller, you sent me one of these invites to this Warbook.
Dude, is this the one I got? I got one too. Is this like the one where if I sign up now, we both get like a bonus, like 100,000 gold? I'm like, what the f*** kind of dungeon dice shit are you sending me, son?
All right. Look, I'm going to tell you about Warbook. So in Warbook, you fight, but it's lame. And I got real excited about it because it's a good idea. Like, if somebody can figure out how to use the Facebook infrastructure to make a massively online multiplayer game, that would be amazing. But Warbook is not it. It is totally lame, and I played it for a little while, and it's just dumb. And it doesn't work ever on Safari or on any other machine very consistently, and it's just stupid.
Well, dude, they already got a game like that. They already got a mass multiplayer game. It's on MySpace. It's called Try to Hook Up with Your Old High School Friends and Fail Miserably Every Weekend.
Oh, shit, son. Oh, man. See, man, Facebook drives me crazy. I get on Facebook, and I go to my notification page. You have 300 notifications. Some dipshit you've never talked to says, "Hey, Blake, let's compare our favorite movies. Hey, Blake, you've been bitten by a zombie. Hey, Blake, what's better, pirates or ninjas? How about I don't give a f- stop talking to me?" All right, so anyway, does he say anything else? P.S. For Blake Buck, damn, you don't like Futurama. What the hell's wrong with you? I don't know. What's that? Why am I dumb if I don't like Futurama? So what? Suck my nuts, sir.
Dude, it took me a good long time to get into Futurama. Like, it needed to get canceled and then come back out on Adult Swim for me to start liking it. That's how long it took. It was an acquired taste.
I've never seen an episode of Futurama where I was just rolling on the floor. I mean, it's kind of funny, but not super funny.
Yeah, it's just not quite anyway. All there. I agree.
Anyway, moving on. Justin Fick, go.
All right, so Daniel writes, "Since we only get a podcast about every other week, an hour and a half or so is good length. I have a little more than that of time where I'm not doing very much, and it's nice to have something to entertain myself with. I would definitely not want to see a shorter show. Also, why does the MP3 version take more space than the one with album art and links? I just noticed it, and it seemed weird. Son, compression."
That's actually a mistake I made last show. We started doing... The shows are traditionally 64 kilobits per second, which is not very high quality, so Lucas has started making me 92 kilobit shows, which are a little bit larger but higher sound quality. Apparently, no one fucking noticed, though, because nobody ever says anything. But the M4A version, I think I still export it at the lower format. But it may be too large to export it at a larger format. I'll play around with it this week, though. I'll see if I can get you guys a little better quality on the album art version.
Okay, guys, because usually I see a lot of audiobooks, and I think a lot of them are at 64. So yeah. We can play around.
It could be locked, so I'm not sure. I'll play around. I just do, like, I set it to good. There's a setting that says good, and that's what I click. I might try better next week.
No, don't do that.
We can't pay for all that hosting. All right, Eric S. says, "Hey, fellas, I just had a question about your site. I'm thinking of opening my own site, and I want to know if you had any suggestions about for blog-esque news tickers that I could use on my site, much like the ones you guys have on your front page. I know Justin Fick uses WordPress, and BDP uses Movable Type, but I don't really see them, but these don't really seem to be working." They don't work at all. Look, I tried WordPress, and it just seemed to offer blah, 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 blah.
Look, son, if you're going to use a CMS, you got to man up, all right? They're a little bit of work, okay? We're using WordPress. If you want to get your site to, you know, a theme, a skin on your site, you got to man up. Got to write a template, okay? You know.
Yeah, look, and I want to emphasize the little bit of work. Dude, WordPress took me, what, like 10 minutes to set up?
Yeah. I mean, generally, if you're not doing anything fancy, right, if you're not, you know, making your own site or whatever, even if you are, you know, you got to do little codes, okay? Got to man up a little bit.
Yeah, look, guys, I don't know if you've heard of this, but on the internet, there's a service called Google, and they actually have tutorials on how to make a website there. You may be unfamiliar with this, but it is an available resource.
But yeah, Movable Type is good. We're going to eventually, this is another one of those Wee Miller website comments. We want to eventually move over to Joomla because it's a lot more full featured. But look.
Yeah, look who's talking, son. I'm moving the site over to Clandathu. Yeah, how you like that? It's a great content management system.
That just means more bugs for us to kill. We'll sweep the area. You kill anything more than two legs. You get me?
Sir, we get you, sir.
Short controlled bursts, son.
Just fit go.
All right, so husband of wife of Matt K writes, wait, who? Dude, sorry, Matt K, you just blew my fucking mind, Matt K. He writes, "Hey, Blake, here's the pics of the well wishes I give at my friend's wedding. We were asked to write something to the bride and groom, so after the Hallmark BS, I decided to plug the show. in case the text is too small, he sends a link to the picture. We can stick this in the feed. It reads, "Today will not be able to compare to the many days you have coming. Have many wonderful days, years, and lifetime. Matt K." P.S. Check out www.bestdamnpodcastnever.com for some articles by yours truly. Oh, and the podcast, too, it's hilarious. Heat D. Go.
And, like, if you look at the photo, Heat D. Go is, like, double size all the other text on the page.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations to whoever got married and listen to our show, go.
Dude, Matt K is a mega mongler.
It's awesome. It's, you get the award, Matt K.
Dude, speaking of mega, I got a quick anecdote. So while we were fucking around with our internet, trying to get our, you know, get back together, I decided I was gonna flip through my junk mail report, and normally there's like we have these messages about, you know, increase the size of your penis and increase your length and stuff. There's one here that just caught my eye, and I was like, you know what, I would buy this. The subject line is simply, "Your masculinity needs mega dick." That's M-E-G-A-D-I-K, mega dick.
Mega dick.
That was so good that I'm going to plug mega dick on this show. Because listen, all you guys listen to the podcast, your masculinity needs mega dick.
Dude, I got the best spam ever the other day. It beats all other spam. If I don't even know where this is from. I'm just doing this from memory because I don't want to open it up here. But it was like, "Have you ever thought about doing a podcast but didn't have the talent to make one? You should try our services. We specialize in comedy podcasts. Call us." And it had their site there. Oh, God.
No, I think I have the official best spam ever. It was a while back. I might have talked about it on the show. I don't know, but I remember the subject line like it was yesterday. It said, "Small dicker." That's D-I-C-K-E-R. "Increase the size of your dick instantly by 3 inches with this sandwich." I shit you not. It's a dick size increasing sandwich.
Wow.
I like how it's instant. It doesn't even take, like, overnight. Like, you eat that sandwich instant, and it explodes.
Like... but it got me to thinking, though. It's like, what kind of sandwich? Is this, like, a turkey sandwich? Is this ham? You know, does it have cilantro on it? Because if it has cilantro, the deal is f***ing off.
Deal's off. That's a deal breaker.
I swear to God.
Oh, 11. All right, so Mark G. wrote this. I had the most awesome dream last night. I love how our listeners... write us emails about their dreams. "For some reason, I had replaced William Miller as the silent glue on BDP on the BDPE show, and my deep booming voice emanated throughout the internet. Then Macworld or some shit came up, and Blake Buck, Justin Fick, and Mark G." I like how you're dead, William. "And Mark G were going to do a live podcast or some shit." Dreams never make sense. And then I showed up. And when I walked up to Blake Buck and Justin Fick, but realized they had never seen me before, I introduced myself. When I introduced myself, however, I realized that I was 12 years older than Blake Buck and Justin Fick, and lost all respect for me. They stood around looking at each other without. Wait, was he 12 years old, or were we? I was 12.
Mark G was 12 years old.
Oh, okay. "And we lost all respect for him. They stood there looking at each other without speaking, and it was really awkward. My voice was still deep and moving, so that counted for something. Mark G. Princess Peach."
Look, Mark G. Princess Peach, the silent glue is a tough job, okay? And I know this is just a dream, I know, but look, it's not everybody that can do this job, all right? Wrangling these two song bitches is tough.
Song bitches. Work. I hadn't heard that in a while.
Song bitch.
Oh.
Alright, Ross writes in, "Hey retards, I went on your site tbdpe.com to see a live show. Quote, all caps, the show will be this Sunday, October 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5% Pacific, 1 a.m. UK. Oh no, it was September 30th. It must have been Blake Buck who did this, as he also kept saying August on last month's show, and it was clearly September. I guess this is what years of burnout and Octomax does to you, or maybe you Americans are 1 month ahead of us Brits. Anyway, thanks for nothing, dick wads, Ross from Manchester, a.k.a. Cheetah Man."
Oh, shit. Look, you should have known, son. You should assume that all dates are wrong, and you should check the forums. Yeah, when I said the date at the beginning of the show, it was probably wrong. You should check the forums when it actually comes out. All right, Gaff and Slasher, that's a...
Wait, this is a quick stump buck here. Can you tell me where that name comes from?
No idea.
Was that... Okay, I could be wrong here. I might be going out of limb, but was that the name of two dudes in Chrono Trigger? Like, you fought them two dudes.
No.
They were like...
Definitely.
There was
not.
A slasher. One was Slasher, and then was the other one Gaff?
Dude, that was Ozzy, Flea, and Slash. Son.
Oh,
those were
God
named after
it.
Rockers. Ozzy Osbourne, Flea,
myself.
And Slash. From Black Sabbath.
Dude, you just got like
Red Hot Chili
power
Peppers
slammed with Chrono
and Guns
Trigger
and Roses
knowledge.
Respectively. Blam.
Okay, fine.
Get off of my massive testicles.
Dude, you are done. Hang your head in shame. So Gaff and Slasher, or I guess that's one person, says, "Dear Best Damn Podcast Ever, I was trolling through the archives and found something pretty interesting. Blake Buck listened to this heat. In episode 2, starring none other than Woman, there is news about Sam and Max. Blake Buck says, my problem with this game..." Well, I have to read my own voice in my own voice. "My problem with this game is that I doubt it's going to be written by the same heme who wrote the original. What was great about the original is that it really had a great comedy writing team. You've got to get someone who really knows how to write Sam and Max, and they probably don't. This led me to believe Blake Buck knows the power that is Sam and Max. But wait, I listened to the last episodes. Speaking of which, GameTap has released the new Sam and Max adventures, and Blake Buck says, 'Have you heard of this, William Miller, Justin Fick?' It sounds an awful lot like you know no of no such adventures. And coming from the man who knows all about the LucasArts games, Blake Buck, you fail at life. Let me tell you something, son. When I said it's going to be poorly written, even back then, I had not played the game. So right there, already assume we know nothing. And then I played it, and it was good. But when I ask William Miller and Justin Fick, and I say, 'Have you guys played this?' That doesn't actually mean have they played it, because they probably haven't, because they don't play shit." That's more of like a impromptu thing for me to get them to say something about the game.
Now, also it's worth noting that that the line, "Have you heard of that, William Miller, Justin Fick?" is a question to William Miller and Justin Fick, asking if they are familiar with the game, and not in any way to be implied that Blake Buck himself knows nothing about the game. Blake Buck may fail at life, but Gaff and Slash, you fail at reading comprehension. See me after class.
Look, I'm in timeout too. Don't worry about it.
I love how we're just tearing up every email. We just hate all of them.
But for the record, I have not played Sam and Max, so sure, whatever. He's right.
Just bit go.
All right, Ben S. writes, "Blake, I just heard the first bit of the episode 30 aftercast. Solidarity on the bike bit, man. I've had 3 bike accidents in the last 6 months, hit a crack in the pavement, face plant, slipped on some slippery pavement, broke a foot, and lost part of my chin." God damn, son. "Got hit by a car, shredded some shorts, bruised..." What the f*** are you doing to get hit all these times? Okay, so he got hit by a car, he shredded some shorts, bruised an arm, more head injury. "It's been a bad 6 months for my body and my bike. Also, the last time my friend and I got drunk resulted in him registering www.assmotorboating.com. Dude, that is a damn fine domain, I gotta say.
I'll tell you, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. Like, you're sitting, anybody who's, like, done any stuff with websites, Justin Fick, I'm sure this has happened to you, or Roy Miller, maybe even you, but, like, you're sitting there, and it comes to you, like, the greatest domain name ever, and then you go and look it up, and somebody has it, and you're like, damn it!
Yeah. You just crushed somebody's dream there. Somebody in about a year is going to think of that
Dude,
one.
Dude, seriously, Ben S., you need to do something with assmotorboating.com.
Assmotorboating.com. Look.
Dude, that's gold.
Look, you need to redirect that to BDPE, TBDPE.com, son. Look, if you do that, we will say on the show, for as long as it up, that is our official URL.
Dude, it's the Ass Motorboat Podcast. Son. It's official. Yeah. Our name is different. It's done.
Guys, there's links on the show notes and on our website at assmotorboating.com.
So he finishes up saying, "Can't say I recommend buying domains you have no use for, but it can be fun. Show kicks ass. Keep having fun, Ben." Dude, Ben, keep having fun registering those ass. Dude, we need to come. You need to do Ben ass. You need to come out with an entire ass sporting line of domain names, like ass motorboating, ass yachting, ass darts, ass bowling.
No. See, when he says ass motorboating, I'm thinking that's like breast motorboating, but with an ass. You were thinking of like a motorboat specifically.
Yeah, I was thinking of something totally different.
I like mine more.
Actually, you know what, Billy Buck? I'm gonna come clean right here. You know, I've heard a lot of crazy dirty terms in my time. I know what a dirty Sanchez is, but I do not know what motorboating is.
You don't know what motorboating is?
No.
Wow.
I want you to enlighten me.
Well, Justin Fick, this is where you take your face and you put it betwixt a woman's breasts and rub your face back and forth, making motorboat noises.
Now see, I've always called that the Bronski. I don't know why. That's the name I've always known for that.
Oh well, there you go.
I've never known it as motorboating, but you know what? That's actually a better name. I should adopt that. But you know what? It's like I know tons of these terms. Like I know Dirty Sanchez. I know the Frothy Walrus, Glass Bottom Boat. I know what all those are, but I've never heard motorboating before.
Oh, look, it's an American pastime for Blake Buck. Even men. That's how I greet people I don't know yet. You just motorboat them real fast.
Well, hey, the more you know.
All right, T-Gon says, yo, I just finished listening to the podcast episode 30 and just a tip. You probably shouldn't let a drunk drinking Blake Buck run the show with heavy lag going on. I was on the train, and one of it, many instances, no sound, I was on the train, and in one of the many instances of no sound, I thought I turned down my volume. But no, I turn up, and what happens? Blake Buck screams out, I'm not drunk, and a good 20 people around me in the train car are looking at me like I'm the retarded one. Thanks, Blake. Really appreciate it. Anyways, I went to vote for you guys at Podcast Alley, and when I searched for you, some stupid podcast called Best Damn Tech Show Period came up. Who are these jokers? Shoot the gun, blam son, T-Gon. I don't know. I think I might have heard of them. Maybe they were around before us. Look, when we came up with Best Damn Podcast Ever, I don't think we ripped that from anybody, did we?
No, we had never listened to any podcast before.
There's like a Best Damn Sports Show, I think, on ESPN, but Lord knows I don't watch sports. So, I don't know. While it may not be 100% unique, I would like to think we didn't rip off anybody, but what you gonna do?
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Look, we're better.
Yep, period.
Okay.
As for episode 30, I think we've got another email about episode 30, Justin Fick, if you want to take this
last
one.
All right, well, this pretty much sums up episode 30. Leroy writes in saying, episode 30 was a fucking pile of hairy shit. Why in God's name did you even bother posting that garbled fucking mess? And what's up with those MP3 clips people are sending in? Just because you invite your gibbering mongoloid fans to leave you voice messages doesn't mean I need to be subjected to it. Your loving fan, Leroy. Look,
wow.
Episode 30 was an experiment gone awry.
Well, look, episode 30 wasn't so bad, but there are a couple of problems. Number one, we had a lot of lag on the show. I couldn't record locally. Look, I love Lucas to pieces, but he took forever to get episode 30 out. Like, had it just taken him a week, I might have said, oh, well, let's just not post this one. But since it had been like 3 weeks since we posted anything, I figured putting up a crappy 30 is better than nothing at all for another week, right?
Maybe. Black 30.
Well, I mean the way I look at it, like episode 30, like that was really all about the just all about like the after show. That's what that was. Like the actual live, like regular podcast was like that just didn't work because like the whole live aspect didn't add a whole lot to the regular
right,
show.
That's what we learned.
It was all about the drunk Q&A session.
Right,
afterwards.
And see, look,
that
guys,
that was where the
we're
gold
constantly
was.
Constantly experiment. What did we learn from episode 30? Bringing a live element into the regular show doesn't really enhance it and really just adds to lag and confusion and all that. So regular shows are no longer going to be live, guys. And we figured that out. So stop it. Look at this motherfucker. Look what he says here. Blah blah blah. It doesn't mean I need to be subjected to it. Let me tell you something, son. Leroy, you're on my shit list, son. You're going to find out what that means real fast.
You're going to get a piece of Terry's special pain cake. You do not want seconds of that.
Dude, Blake Buck will come over to your house, Leroy, and motorboat your breasts.
Oh, I love it. All right, guys, it's time for Stomp. Thank you. I don't have a stump.
All right, Blake, I got a stump for you this week, and you better know this
one. Oh, son.
You better
son.
Know this one. All right, I got one stump, and then if you don't get that one, I got another stump that's pretty similar. My stump this week is Theme Hospital.
Theme Hospital? Come the fuck on, son. You going to try and confuse me with an early 90s PC game made by fucking Bullfrog and God Peter Molyneux, where you make a hospital? They also made theme, what was it, Theme Park World and all that? Look, damn, come on.
Also, Dungeon Keeper was my follow-up to that. Also
dude, I know that.
Game.
Dude, Dungeon Keeper, it's another one of them games. It's like you're the bad guy in the dungeon, right?
You gotta kill all them heroes. Look, Theme Hospital was funny hospital. I remember there's like bloat face was one of the diseases. And their face was bloated. And you had to deflate it.
I like those Theme games back in the day. They've kind of like lost their luster. I think they licensed them out to other companies now. They have like a new theme park one that's not the same.
Lame.
All right.
Anyway.
So I got a stump also, and this is another one that I'm worried about that we've done it before, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's called Atomic Robo Kid.
What the fuck? Atomic Robo Kid? All right.
This take it, Blake Barr.
All right, here we go. Before Duke Nukem was a man... There was Atomic Robo Kid.
No, son, he was always a man. He was a young man.
He came out of the vagina as a full-grown man. So, that's not right at all. Well, what is it, Justin Fick?
His pectoral muscles ripped his mother in half on the way out.
That's why he hates women.
All right, so Atomic Robo Kid, even though it sounds completely lame, it was like a horizontally scrolling, it was like a shoot 'em up. But you guys ever played like Burai Fighter? It was a game where it was a scrolling shooter, but you could move and shoot in independent directions. Now on a fucking Nintendo paddle, on Nintendo sticks, this was crazy, unheard of shit. So Atomic Robo Kid took that to the Sega Genesis and PC Engine, which you might also know as TurboGrafx-16, and it was actually ported to a bunch of computers, and also it came out originally as an arcade game, but you were just like this robot, and you shot in any direction, you blew up lots of shit all the time, thumbs up.
Awesome. All right, my game for you guys. Now, I'm pretty sure this is the name of this game. I may be wrong, and if you guys remember it, then you can correct me. But I think the name of this game is called Balls. B-A-L-L-Z.
Balls.
Yeah, like that horrible fucking gamer drink. Oh, no, that's spelled different.
Dude, is this Jewel Swap?
No, this ain't no Jewel Swap, son.
Yeah, well, that'd have to be my guess, too. It's some sort of like, oh, you know what? Here's my guess. Okay, so in the 90s, there was like this craze, like after Tetris came out for Game Boy, and that was a fucking hit, and that was like smash it. Everyone got the Tetris bug, and everyone buying Game Boys played Tetris. Like there were like a million fucking games that just try to do like what Tetris did, but weren't Tetris. So you had like Klax. Remember, you guys remember Klax for the arcade?
I remember Klax.
Yeah, and they're trying to build it as like this game like Tetris, like it's this great puzzle game designed by it sucked ass. So here's what I think it is. Balls is one of those Tetris ripoff games in the early 90s that tried to you know just cash in on the Tetris bug, and it was a piece of shit.
You are 100% wrong, son.
All
right, Balls was a fighting game, except each of the fighters was made up of just like, you remember back in the day when we didn't have 3D graphics, but we just had like.
It was like pre-rendered balls.
Yeah,
all the dudes
just like
were made
ball
out of
people, and they
spheres.
Scaled
I remember
like different
that. I
sizes.
Remember that. It was on Genesis, right?
Yeah, it was on Genesis and Super NES, I think. If it wasn't balls, it was orbs, O-R-B-Z, but I think it was balls, one of the two.
I got it up now. Yeah, it was balls. Yeah, two-player 3D action fighting game for the Sega Mega Drive / Genesis.
I remember seeing that. I remember seeing that in like... And like it was a Donkey Kong, and I thought, oh my god, there's 3D on my TV.
Dude, I still say that today.
I couldn't believe it.
Oh wow, well, I'm looking at this Wikipedia right here, and dude, Blake Buck, you asked me about this game. Did you remember the tagline in the beginning?
No.
The tagline of this game was, to be the champion, you gotta have balls, B-A-L-L-Z.
Oh, that is a delight.
And it's also worth mentioning that that from this Wikipedia article that Screw Attack, if you guys know Screw Attack website, it listed it as number 3 on its top test worst fighting games of all time.
Nice. Awesome. Alright, well that does for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What the f*** do you guys think about that?
It's pretty good, Blake Bug. Back to the basics.
That was good. It was a return to basics.
It's true. And look, I'm loving this phone. Justin Fick, right now, for those of you who don't know, we're conference over the telephone and there's no lag and I'm loving it.
Dude, my minutes are going bye-bye. My minutes are gone.
I think I got 3. I might have it free. If I can figure out how to do it, we'll get it set up next week. Anyway, if you got any feedback for us, it's feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com or call our listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. Guys, no calls on the listener line. Oh, wait, no. We got one call, but it was like, I don't think they realized they had hung up or something. And it was like it was like 3 minutes long. And every like 15 seconds, like she would say like, and it was a girl. She would say like, what is that noise? I thought I told you to put that up. This made no sense at all. So whoever could try again, whoever that was. First digit was a 7, so you know who you are. Also, guys, if you want to donate to us, it's donate at Best Damn Podcast Ever, or you can go to the show notes or our official website at assmotorboating.com.
Dude, look, so I get it right, dude. It's Ass Motorboat.
Oh, it was just Ass Motorboat. Oh, f***.
No, wait, I'm wrong. F*** me, dude. It is Ass Motorboating. Dude, hang my head in shame.
Shame. Also, guys, vote for us on Podcast Alley. I want to be number 1. Better be number 1.
Dude, look, by this time next month, I want everyone on the Best Damn Tech Show, period, here sucking our dicks.
All right, so from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
And I'm Justin Fake.
And we will see you next time.
Barbie as the Island Princess. An all-new movie starring Barbie as Ro, a shipwrecked girl who can talk and sing with animals. Here on my island, the sea says hello. Dolphins are waving wherever I go.
We are here for you and your penis.
There's a song on the breeze and a home in the trees. Friends I can talk with whenever I please.
Still have doubts about penis enlargement?
When the adventurous Prince Antonio discovers the island, the two fall in love. Ro decides to return with the prince to his kingdom, where her friends help her prepare for a royal ball.
Increase the size of your dicker with this sandwich.
Oh, please accept these. Do you think they'll do?
94% of women agree larger penis is good. Blah, 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 blah. Stock report.
Azul, your gift makes this a dream come true.
Now you'll take the breath away.
Take care of you and your penis.
We can see you'll be the jewel of them all.
Let women thirst for your penis.
Last of all, a rose bouquet!
Such a whacking penis.
You're going to have a great time at.
I'm going to have a great time at.
Your masculinity just needs mega dick.
You're going to have a great time at the ball.
That's MEGADIK. Oh my god.
However, the king has promised that the prince will marry Luciana, the daughter of the ruthless Ariana, who plans to overthrow the kingdom.
Lame.
Ro and her animal friends must expose Ariana's evil plot, find her family, and save the kingdom.
Wow.
Barbie as the Island Princess, coming soon to DVD.
Is your penis size your only problem? No.